All right. All right, today is... What's today, Wayne? The 6th, October 6th, 2012. All right. All right. What I'd like to do is kind of open it up to a lot of the questions that people may be carrying around with them during this time. We've got a big election coming up. We've got economy issues coming up. So I know those are part of the questions, but... yeah. Hello, Joe. Come on in here. Okay. Can everybody hear me? Okay. Do you want me to get into that first, or just take personal questions? Everybody wants to know who's going to be president. Well,
I already know. So
very little. Very little.
Let's see what Judy has to say.
Okay. Everybody, you know, I've been getting a lot of people who have been asking, well, who's going to be the next president? Do you know who's going to be the next president? All weekend long, I've been telling everybody, well, come on over tonight, and I'll talk about it. All right. Good night, Tony. All right. First things first. The real question is not who's going to win the election. That's not the real question. The real question is who's going to help us. The real question is who's going to help us. Yeah. And that question kind of takes us outside of politics. Because the change happening in the world is not going to be political change. It's going to be spiritual change. And the healing that our lives take, including our physical existence, doesn't come from political power, it comes from spiritual power. So the question is, who's going to help us, becomes a spiritual question. Because our individual lives have, more or less, as we learn tonight and throughout the weekend, our individual lives are kind of, we've already, in many ways, chosen. We've selected this life and many of the experiences that we go through, financial experiences, emotional experiences, family experiences, economic experiences, political experiences, you name it, all these experiences are truly designed for us, for our edification purposes. And so looking to a political party or looking to a political group or even person outside of ourselves is really an illusion, because we as individuals have already chosen 95, 96, 97% of our life as it's playing out already, for specific reasons, not just because we want to go through a tough situation, but because we also want to provide the education for ourselves and for others. And what that means is how we live our life day to day, facing the issues that we face, is not only helping us, but it's helping those who observe us and learn from our mistakes and learn from our way of living. Does that make sense? Do you understand?
Yeah. All right.
It is absolutely true that those people who know us and are in our lives observe us and learn from us how to live a life in the same way that we will observe them and sometimes learn how not to live a life or how to live a life. So that's going on in our day-to-day physical existence. So, who's going to help us? We are. Who's going to win? We are. Individually, we're going to win. Because our life, the instances of our life, our destiny is not determined by somebody else. It's determined by ourselves, our relationship to God. Okay. That's the foundation. And that's absolutely a paradigm that if we can live through that, it's not going to matter who wins or loses. Because our life is going to be in our own hands and in God's hands together, co-creating it, and in a satisfactory way where we may go through experiences that are challenging or good or enjoyable, and each one of those we see the value and the richness of each of those experiences. Do you understand? Okay. On a side note, I see a democratic power still continuing. But I see a lot of strength in the Republican side. So politically, because it's still relevant, I still see a stronger potential for a Democratic win than for a Republican win. However, the strength that the Republican Party has right now with the Romney and Ryan will carry over to 2016. So, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, there's positive things for both. And as I mentioned earlier today, there are men of sincerity truly trying to move forward with ideas and thoughts on things that they can do. But again, we're not going to be helped by politics. We're going to be helped by spirituality. So our lives will be changed by the spirituality, by who's in power spiritually. And, you know, we know that. We know that. You know, the choir is here. I'm talking to the choir here. But it's actual plays itself out as well. So as we practice that on a day-to-day basis, regardless of what we believe, if we still think that, you know, one person in office is going to change our life, then if we still want to believe that, then entertain the idea that one person in spiritual power can change our life as well. So if we want to believe the politics is really the way to go, and a lot of people do, then I encourage you to just also entertain the idea that there's a spiritual power that's just as capable of changing our lives. All right. In the same political arena, what I see is what will not be seen in the media. The media will display the split politically. What I see is behind the scenes, people on both sides being effective, people on both sides being ineffective. It is true that in Washington, D.C., there are about 10% of the elected officials that actually can get things done and know how to pull things together and actually can accomplish things. About 40% of them kind of are in over their heads and don't know what they're doing. The other 50% are trying to learn to figure it out. And about another 15%, or what is that, 115% already? Well, blended in there is a little bit of ego. And a little bit of ego.
Just a little bit?
Well, the media, I mean, they have to, as it's part of the game, right now, the way to stay there is to make yourself look good. And so the ego part of it, it's not, it, and I'll be honest with you, it doesn't necessarily agree with their stomachs to be able to have to do this. It's a tough choice. So I'm defending them a little bit because of the state that they have to exist in and how difficult that job is politically. But things get done. Lately, we haven't necessarily seen a lot get done, but some things do get done. There's a lot of room for improvement. Make no doubt about that. There's a lot of room for improvement in that, but we're not necessarily going to see a big change for that for another couple of decades. So this pattern, this style of politicking is going to continue for a couple of decades yet. Until the partisanship comes full circle around and recognize it with that it's not accomplishing everything they want it to accomplish, and things get worse, which is the second question that's up. How's the economy? Well, we're in a time right now, 2012 through, I'm going to say, 2016 is part one of four parts. Four time periods, four time periods that each are going to contribute to making things a little bit more difficult. This next 4 years will be food related difficulties. They've already started. And it's going to trigger the food prices to go up. For the next 4 years, we'll see a significant increase that we've not seen in a while. And the saving grace in this is that people will start providing for themselves and start producing food locally, which will create a stronger local base for providing food, which will be needed as time progresses. Now, we're not necessarily going to go through all the tough times that are going to happen over the next 33 years, which they will get a little bit tougher, because in about 23 years, we're going to be at 8 billion people on the planet. And we just turned 7 billion just a couple of years ago. But 8 billion is coming around the corner. We're not scheduled to have massive die-offs because we've changed the Earth. We're not going to face Edgar Cayce's changing of the physical tilt of the Earth, which would devastate the entire planet, because we've changed that and healed a huge amount of that. It would have happened already if we had not done that. I mean, the prediction that Greg's client had in his progression, I was seeing also in the early 80s, I was seeing a third world war in the late 1990s. I was seeing high levels of radiation where we had to wear suits that protected us from radiation. Solar radiation. I was seeing tremendous amounts of devastation, and that was in the early 80s. But that didn't occur either, because of the was there anybody here last year at Mo Ranch? I know you were, Wink. I gave a little bit of talk on why Edgar Cayce's predictions didn't come true. Do you remember that? It's because we've raised the vibration, and that vibration absorbed the low-level vibration energy that was destined to enter in and manifest. But the fact that, like I talked about today, that higher vibration impacts that lower vibration, brings it up, and lessens and reduces or lessens the amount of destruction. For those of you who haven't heard me before, the World Trade Center attack was Edgar Cayce's prediction for New York. It manifested. And it manifested on a super smaller scale. The entire city was predicted to be devastated by an earthquake. Well, the energy, the higher level energy that came in and that we brought in and brought forth, reduced it to such amount that it was only one block of devastation. Now, it still was an emotional earthquake that devastated the people, but the physical destruction was greatly reduced. And I'm saying it was the prediction fulfilled, because when I read for that, the information that came and was given to me and I was allowed to see included saying, this is the prediction of Edgar Cayce that has come true. It showed me clearly that this was Edgar Cayce's prediction, but manifesting differently. And it was clear. So I have no qualms about saying that this is it. Now in this next decade, I don't remember who it was that was asking me about disasters. Somebody said, you know, you didn't mention much about disasters coming up. And I mentioned, well, I could have. And what I want to say, I'm getting the disasters out of the way here so that we can get on to some of the better stuff that will balance out that. We've all we all know about Indonesia in 2004. The tsunami that hit Indonesia. Of course, we all know about Japan. And related to those two, those are two of four events. The tsunami in Indonesia really was a kind of introductory presentation. The experience in Japan was the first of three events that I'm seeing a present in the timeline. And in looking at how much we could reduce this, I saw that we could reduce possibly 20%, which would still require effort, but we're doing that. And so we could reduce. What that means is, take what we saw in Japan and reduce that destruction by about 20%. Still a lot of destruction. Still a lot. But we have that much available. 80% of that is unchangeable. And that's what was clear. It's very clear that it was unchangeable. So we've got two more events happening in this decade, what I'm seeing so far. Although the first one, possibly around 2016, 15 to 16, probably the end of 15, as late as the turn of the year in 16. So I'm seeing anywhere from mid-November of 2015 to end of December 2016, the second event of three, the Japanese being the first, Indonesian being the introduction, and then the third one, the last one of the three, being around 2019, 2020, possibly as late as 2021. There's more flexibility when it happens because we have more time to affect it. Again, the amount of time to affect that is significant because it allows us to bring more energy in. And again, 20% of a destructive event is still significant to those 20% that are helped. So those are significant events that I'm seeing ahead of us that I'm not yet seeing fully what the events are. Seeing that there are two more destructive events at that level is a bit challenging. And so I'm struggling to see what specific, where they're at and what they're going to be. I think one of them may be a combination of weather and something else. The only thing that comes to mind right now, and I don't know this is accurate, is a nuclear winter. I don't think that's accurate, but that's the closest thing I can come up with what I'm seeing right now. And it usually takes me a little while to kind of identify all the facets on something this emotionally effective. So it takes me a little while to do that. But that's the best I can come up with that event in the middle of the decade. And the second, it's still too dark to see. The last one, rather. The third one of all of them. It's dark energy, and it's influenceable to some extent. Anybody who's familiar with Edgar Cayce, a little side note, knows that Edgar Cayce had a prediction about Japan. And we see that although milder than what he predicted, Japan was truly affected by it.
And the big one is about to come.
For which?
Japan.
No, Japan has already had theirs. That was Japan's. Yeah. Yeah. See, the effect of this, in essence, the original one prediction would have pretty much wiped out Japan. But this one really kind of wiped out part of Japan, and economically cleaned their slate as well. I mean, economically, this is just clean. You know, it wiped out a lot of their agriculture. It hurt them tremendously in many levels, economically, agriculturally, industrially, in many ways. And so what we see is basically a lessening or a reduction again of metaphorically what would have happened if the original prediction would have come up. So real quick, Edgar Cayce's predictions at that time, in 1930, were on a specific timeline, going in a specific direction. We changed timelines based on the amount of vibration and energy and spiritual energy we brought in. So it doesn't remove the energy that's destined to manifest, but it does take it to a higher level, which means that there's less of that energy to manifest. So, yeah, Linda, you had a question. Yeah, that's there's a lot of activity, and especially right now, a lot of that is related to 2012. You know, what we're talking about today, a lot of that energy that is impacting the solar system right now is impacting the Pacific Rim and is impacting the Earth. So some of that is related. Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Yeah. And when was the last time you had an earthquake in Irving? I think it was, what, the year 326 AD or something like that? In Irving, Texas. Well, and California does go off. If you take a look at the USGS website, you'll see all the earthquakes that happen every day in California. Yeah, as long as they're little, it's okay.
Little earthquakes are a blessing.
Yes, yes. And the same thing, a while back I saw a number of a large earthquake happen in Missouri. I mean, there's the Madrid Fault is in Missouri. It was a hot spot. But I could also see that if smaller earthquakes happened in the region, and that's including in Oklahoma, then that can reduce the amount of energy in that hot spot on the Madrid Fault. So small earthquakes are a blessing. Believe me, I'm alert to earthquakes because I went through the Loma Prieta one in 1989, excuse me. Yeah, right. Well, remember, this solar system is being worked on by an entire galaxy right now.
Yeah, everything's lining up.
Everything's lining up, yes. And the gravitational pull is affecting us. I mean,
change topic on the Earth changes, but what about the situation in the Middle East?
Yeah. Boy, that's some earthquakes itself, isn't it?
Earthquakes, besides the earthquakes, you know, the political...
Yeah, the politics of the Middle East. Yeah. Well, okay. Hold on to that thought. I want to move us to balance this earthquake talk with a little bit of positive stuff here. There is a lot of work touching this earth that helps to balance this out. You know, the earthquake in Irving wasn't a 7.1. And that's because this energy that's manifesting, this energy that's 2012 energy, is being helped. There's actual help to try to balance this out. As it's spread out, it doesn't create a single event in one place that's drastic. Now, we still have tornadoes, and we still have earthquakes in various spots and stuff like this, but for the most part, it'd be a lot worse if we're actually working at it. It's and successful at taking care of some of this stuff before it ever happens. So. I mean, but we're not going to see in the media, 12 earthquakes were avoided today because people prayed. You know, we're not going to see that. But that's absolutely going on in multiple levels. So, you know, I'm going to see that the entire hurricane season of 2006 was healed. But, you know, who else? You know, you can hear it from me, but, you know, I may be just a voice hollering in the wilderness. You know, I'm one voice out here saying those million prayers removed that entire hurricane season.
I heard that from my friend, confirmation of what you said.
Okay.
From my psychic friends in Arkansas.
Oh, yep. Right.
Because they were
good.
They monitor all this and doing their world service.
Okay.
And they work with hierarchies.
Good. I'm glad to know that I'm not the only one saying this.
They confirmed that.
Yep. So, and I realized in that, just a side note, I didn't mention this, that I had actually, even up to the weekend that I was thinking it was going to happen, that one earthquake, that one hurricane that was going to happen in August of 2006, I was reading the old timeline that I had read in 2001, 2002. I had not looked again at it. I was still reading that old timeline. So I still saw that hurricane on that old timeline. I had not made my adjustment to where we were today. And so I was so tied in to how it was supposed to happen, and I was telling people, we're going to have a hurricane, and I was so invested in that, that I did not look at it again and make those corrections until afterwards, and it looked like it. And of course, you know, I can't imagine what they thought of me coming out and saying, you know, the sky is falling. So the positive things about what we've talked about so far, again, extremely active, and I use the analogy of a roll of carpet. You know, if you have a roll of carpet, anybody who's seen a rolled up roll of carpet, if you walk across it, you're going to trip. It's at knee high. You walk across that, it can very much likely, you know, if you're walking along and that roll of carpet is up there and it's this high, you try walking across that, you're going to trip and fall over because it's a roll of carpet this high. I mean, it's in the way. But you roll that carpet out flat and there's no danger. You're going to have to make a little bit of a shift. And basically, that's what happens. We move this energy out and spread it out, and it dissipates and it becomes handleable. And in essence, a lot of the manifestation of Edgar Cayce's predictions, that's basically what has been happening. It's been spread out over the decades, but we've reached a point where we really can't spread it out much any longer, and it manifests in Indonesia, manifests in Japan, and it's still... the potential for it manifesting in 2016 is high, and the potential for manifesting in 2020 or that time period is very, very high yet still too. There's still a lot of energy, and I'm not seeing a whole lot of being able to roll it out and flatten it out a little bit. We spread it out over a long period of time, and we've done that a lot, but I don't see a lot yet. It doesn't mean we need to stop though. So okay, that's all I have to offer for that. Joe, you're in the Middle East.
Oh yeah, I was just asking how it's going to unfold,
right?
Because if it gets out of hand, it will be a real chaotic situation for the whole world.
Right. It'd be chaotic for the whole world.
Just the way the dynamics are playing.
Yeah. Well, there's no shortage of people who want to light the fire. There's a whole lot of politics involved, obviously. Not just in the United States, but with every nation out there involved. Politics is going on, and politics is part of the game that's present here. So, I do see a roller coaster, and I'm going to put it in those terms. Ups and downs. I don't see nuclear weapons being used intentionally by the governments. I do see extremely difficult times, high tension, potential for explosive situations. And I see low times of low tension. So I see it up and down, and up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. That's what I'm seeing. It's a mixture. It's what we've known it to be for quite a while, and I see it continuing along the same lines. In the next three years, I think we'll see a relatively smoother time. It's the media and the reports, and it will look hot, and it is hot. I mean, it's, you know, a stove that's turned on is hot, and it's going to stay hot, and it's going to be burned, so you don't touch it, and you let it kind of stay there, and let it, and monitor it, and pay attention to it, and if you can't cool it off, you at least protect people around it from being burned. You don't want it to get worse, so there's effort in the government that we don't know, that's not portrayed in the media, that's not displayed, but we do know it. I mean, nothing is hidden, but unless, you know, well, you know what I'm talking about. The Middle East, the key players, of course, as we know right now, are Syria and Iran, Israel. This will cool off some. Syria will cool off some over the next year. Israel kind of slowly progressing to get hotter. Because they're getting frustrated with the lack of progress with dealing with Iran. So they're slowly losing their patience. In the next 6 months, I don't see anything drastic happening. The next 6 months being until the spring, June, and at that time I see a potentially explosive situation. It can be diffused, but I see it coming to fruition like a boil coming to head. How it's resolved yet to be determined, but Israel is, like I said, getting more frustrated, more frustrated, more frustrated. So, because they're being goaded, and that's part of it, and they don't like being threatened. In essence, their very life, they're being, you know, it's, we all know what's going on in Israel and Iran, the two of them. And it's kind of like somebody being taunted and taunted and taunted and taunted and taunted. Eventually, the one who's being taunted gets fed up with it and becomes an explosive situation. So, there will be a lot of behind-the-scenes effort. There will be concessions made for Israel with the United States. In essence, if you don't go to war, we'll help you in this way. We'll do this. You know, that kind of concessions. It doesn't necessarily resolve the problem, but it turns the heat down a little bit in the moment. Israel, you know, they will be ready to strike next spring because of the level of frustration that they are experiencing. But the people who are working in the arena, in that Middle East arena, will be working to help make that strike not happen. So there, and they will, they have ways to, well, they don't have ways. They will make concessions as part of the maneuvering to help reduce the tensions. I don't see a lot of Iran cooperation because Iran's in the catbird seat, you know. they're successful at taunting. I do believe I'm not seeing a major nuclear bomb program over there, but I am seeing the outline of a major nuclear bomb program in order to just to say, you're not going to tell me what to do. They don't have it. I don't see it manifested as a built or created, but I do see it being in a file somewhere, and this, you know, and a few steps being taken. Could we do this if we decided to? Could we build a nuclear bomb if we decided to? Well, here's how you do it. If you decided to, this is the program and how you go about doing it. That's what I see that they have. But I don't see them manifesting it in even though they've got a nuclear program, I see their nuclear bomb program being more to kind of stir things up. Again, it's part of the world we live in. We've got governments that really, some governments that want to start problems. And so, and some leaders that want to, oh, you're welcome, that want to position themselves as being a Middle East leader, like the president of Iran. He wants to position himself as an Arab leader. And so this is the method he's doing it. All right. Is that it? Help you?
No, thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So that's, you know, the Middle East is going to be a hot spot for another 20 years. Yeah. But there's progress in the future. There's, you know, it's slow progress. It's, think about where we were 20 years ago. I mean, 1992 was 20 years ago. That's not a long time. You know, it'll be a roller coaster in that next two decades, but I see progress being made. And I see very real, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times it's when somebody dies and somebody else comes into office that type of change is made. So, which is valid. You know, so, where else do you want to explore? You know, a lot of this sounds very drastic and very dramatic and very scary, but this is normal for the planet Earth. We live on the planet Earth, and this is, I'm just giving you the dramatic stuff. There's a lot of great stuff here, too. I mean, we're going to see, in the next 3 years, we're going to see breakthroughs in energy, or we're going to see progression in energy, new sources, different sources of energy. We're going to see, you know, a lot more solar. We're going to see a lot more wind. We're going to see a lot more alternative energy sources in the next 3 years, and more actively visible. We're going to see. Let's see. We're going to see medical cures over, yeah. Well, you know, they're not really going to be in the media. They'll be out there, and it's, medical cures are a slow progression, but they're a progression as well. The good side is, the good news is that medical breakthroughs will happen, but it's really going to be in the journals that it's announced. And it's going to be, you know, small groups of doctors that take notice and start trying those things. It's not going to be in the Houston Chronicle. It's not going to be in the Dallas Times. It's not going to be a, you know, except maybe on the third page of the medical section, maybe during on Wednesday. You know.
Fracking.
You know, fracking. The oil companies are going to hold on to fracking as long as they can because they know it's they're going to hold on to it, and they're going to say, you know, it's not a problem. That's what they're going to say, and they're going to keep saying that as long as they can, until they're forced to stop. But to them, it's not a problem for them. It's a problem for the other people that are on the land and around, living around there. It's not a problem for the oil companies. And they, you know, they're not going to reap the detriments to it. They're going to reap the benefits from it. Fracking is a problem, and it's. I'm not seeing it create major earthquake problems. I'm not seeing it create major earth changes problems. But I am seeing it creating. Problems at the levels that where it's happening with the water. It absolutely is going to affect the water. There's no avoiding that. The water tables are deep, and they need to. So fracking is still going to be around, and they're going to fight for it until you know, it's kind of like using mercury in your teeth. People are going to fight for it until you get a law that says, you know, you can't use mercury anymore, or research that says, you know, mercury's killing people. Okay, I'll stop now then. Okay. So that's fracking. That's what I see. You know, it could be that I'm seeing that aspect of it because that's how I feel about it too. So I'm seeing things that support my position. And I get frustrated with all this. You know, I'm going to get mine while I can get it. I get frustrated with that too, and so that's a lot of what I see when I look. Anything more about that?
Well, it leads in the water shortage.
Yeah, Texas.
Texas is going to have.
Yeah.
Have a problem.
Texas.
Can we dig a canal from Mississippi?
Well,
we should have done that 20 years ago. Now even Mississippi dry.
Yeah. I was going to say you can dig one there. There may not be anything there when you get it. The Texas water problem is there's good news and there's bad news. On an individual level, on an individual basis, there's going to be more and more opportunities for saving water, catching rainwater, et cetera, et cetera. The bad news is, on the massive level, the providing for cities to provide water for their municipal water for the citizens is where the crisis. Yeah, that's the word. Is going to be. It's a gradual growing of crisis. They're aware of it now. Everybody's aware of it now in Texas. They don't have a lot of solutions, but and hence why we will see it continue. The crisis will grow. It won't necessarily affect us strongly at the faucet yet for another probably until the middle of the next decade. You know, as an individuals, we can do something about that. And those who take individual steps to provide their own water, rainwater collection systems and such like that, or their own well, will be in a better shape than those who simply rely on municipal water. I don't have a well or municipal water. I do have 6,000 gallons of water in my yard, and that will supply my needs for quite a while. And with the rain that's coming in, I've got another 2,000 gallons coming in. So October is going to be a good month. So individually, I'm not having a problem. But individually, we can solve some of these problems on a massive scale because the vast majority of people are not dealing with this individually. The municipal, they're relying on the government to take care of it. That's where the problems are going to fall. You know, again, the government's not... The issue, the question is not who's going to be elected, it's who's going to help us, and it's not the government. The government's trying to throw things into the pool that will help, but it's not going to be that at all. It's going to be small communities, it's going to be individuals, it's going to be on that level. And that will be true over the next, this half of the century. So on an individual level, there are answers, there are good opportunities. Small community level, but not on the massive level. Again, the purpose of this, and I may not have said this at all, the purpose of this is to help people to find a source within themselves. Each individual to find a source within themselves. And not to rely on an outside source, a government agency, or an elected official. As we know, God is inside of us, not outside of us. So, that's not necessarily good news, but it is. It is news that we can address and do something about. Okay.
What about the medical thing? Medical?
Which part of it?
Unless that insurance is going up, everything.
You mean like education, medical?
Medical.
Oh, the cost of medicine. Y'all are asking everything that I want some good news. Ask me some questions to give you some good news. Medically speaking, the AMA is aligning itself with the pharmaceutical companies. The doctors that are part of the AMA, and so doctors are going to be required to dispense drugs. And that means two things. Number one, the prices are not coming down. The expense of medicine is going to stay high. And this could throw a balance off with alternative medicines. It could potentially throw the balance off. And then the AMA is going to be aligned with them so much over this next decade that it will be as if they were one group. And that's not good at all, but that's what I'm saying. The doctors are not necessarily happy about it.
Yeah, but the doctors belonging to the AMA is really yes. Low percentage.
Yeah, but the AMA still has a extremely powerful position. Yeah. So
I'm running across doctors that are taking supplements.
Right. They want to be healers. The doctors want to be healers. They don't want to have to be forced into...
Why you don't see this whole cycle breaking? That's what I was trying to get at.
It will break, but not...
I mean, as such, I think acupuncture nowadays insurance has started right. Offering that. You know, nowadays they come and do yoga.
Right.
You know,
again, on an individual basis. Yeah, on an individual basis.
My thinking is the positive view. I think the question was, you know, I don't see a justification for the cost increases. That's what is baffling me. Yet the things become increasing.
Right.
Because there's no justification for the cost to keep on rising.
Right.
And I think it is...
Advertising.
Pardon?
Yeah. Yeah, pay for the advertising.
Yeah, I think...
Right.
That's what they say, but a lot of the R&D work that's being done, you know, in foreign countries, and because of the international pattern goes to the glaciers. Like, you know, right. You get the same work done in China for, in India for maybe 10 feet cost.
Exactly, or Mexico.
Yeah, but the pattern is basically valid for all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So even though the company says that we are spending so much of money, but I don't understand where they're spending the money.
Well, for salaries, for one thing.
Well, yeah, that's
yeah.
It. I mean,
that's true.
That is a way of rationalizing, you know, you just say right. R&D, but it's all good salaries.
Sure.
So maybe that's what I'm trying to get at. It probably doesn't make any sense to me why they keep on.
If you watch the commercials at the different laundry list of all the.
Right. Yeah. It makes it.
Why would
anybody ever want to take it? Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I think Saturday Night Live did a skit on it. Possible side effects, death. So.
That goes to the grocery store now. I've got to read the labels of the boxes, you know, and the list of stuff, you know, that goes in there and. I don't really know what that is.
Yeah. The what we're seeing sometimes, though, is that the individuals who work in the field are aware of the frustration that we as patients have, and they're trying to find ways to help too. And doctors who want to be doctors and help are looking for and trying to find ways to provide help. And what I've been seeing is that a lot more smaller medical establishments are being created. A lot more smaller groups. They're a lot of doctors are going more or less independent. Maybe not necessarily taking all the insurance companies or insurances, but maybe a few. Some doctors, I know there's a doctor in Wimberley that's cash only. And he doesn't take any insurance, he doesn't take anything, but he's still got patients. He treats a tremendous amount of, uses a lot of alternative medicines, supplements, such like that, and he treats people the way he believes they can be helped, and not tied into, you know, the traditional, ways of medicine that we all know we're talking about.
Last week in the San Antonio area, Texas Med Clinics, Dr. Box, you know, they've changed. They have part of their ways of Blue Cross.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
right.
They have part of their ways of Blue Cross.
Blue Cross, right.
The traditional insurance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's an issue of money. And to some degree, a lot of the impetus then is pushed on the individual to decide this. And again, this is not happening by accident. It really is trying to help people to help people to move to look to themselves for saving themselves, not to look to somebody else to save them from themselves. Exactly.
It truly is a self-help program.
Absolutely. And so
off the earth and
yes. We can. That's available. You know, even after technologies come forth that take away all the work or produce instant food, we can still say no to that. We can still say, you know, I want to grow my own vegetables in the dirt. I'm not going to use a replicator. You know,
come on.
Because I'm saying that because there will be a time. I mean, we're actually, the people that are young today are going to see interplanetary communication. We're in the middle of this, and I've mentioned this, Wink knows this, I've mentioned this, the middle of this decade, we're going to see ETs publicly announce themselves. I mean, this is going to be a big deal. This is going to be like the Olympics. They will prepare for this for years.
ETs.
Extraterrestrial.
They'll make the presence.
They will make the presence known. It will be as if it were the Olympics. Preparations for this. I'm seeing this all happening beginning around 2045. Preparations, ceremonies. It will be an extremely major deal, like the Olympics. It will be. And we're not going to see that because we'll be finished already. But the people who are 20 years old today are going to see that. But what they bring with them is we won't necessarily have to struggle with who gets the technology, because there are technologies that we're going to be developing that will be close to helping us be self-reliant from them, but they will also bring some new technologies in that will offer us, you know, make life easier and stuff like this. I'm not familiar with it, so.
They, you know, their prophecies are. They're saying,
Yeah.
They're saying that. That there's going to be a. They're looking for a blue star. That's their next major event. I was just I was just watching this on YouTube the other day. Just listening to some of the elders.
Right.
They're not publicized very much, but they believe that this is coming, and that.
Yeah.
They also hold the same beliefs that the Mayans do, which they're of the same descendants, I guess. They're saying that there was a black being in their past that came and taught them lots of stuff. And he promised to return. So this is what they're looking for. From their religion.
Yeah.
I just don't know if this will be their.
Well, the relations will be made with interplanetary, and it will open up a lot of opportunities for the people of the Earth. Some benefits, some detriments. You know, intercultural interactions bring a mixture of experiences. You know, some up, some down, some good, some bad. So it will be the worst.
We can't get along in the world, let alone
Well, if you think about one of the impetuses because of that is deals with energy, deals with resources, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. But again, I still see a brand new energy source coming in, and I still see that happening. The guy who is going to write the doctoral dissertation has already started on it. He's studying it, and he hasn't started his dissertation yet. But I've been watching him. He's studying
information on what you call it, LENR, low energy nuclear.
Does
it use the sign for it? The
predictive. Wink is going to take on. No, Wink is going to take care of it. Yeah. Well, there's a blend of them. There's a bunch of them. And some of them are very benevolent and purposefully take on a kind of helping role. Some of them, they're not humans. So they think differently, and their culture is different. Their consciousness is slightly different because they've not gone through the human evolution process. And so their level of chakra development is different.
I'm trying to understand. I think when you say their consciousness, like for example, you know, we say, well, a human being, he might be greedy, he might be this, he might be, you know. So do they have more of an idealistic mind, or is it just that they're,
Well, let me put it this way. A lot of people who were Atlanteans were from other planets.
Okay.
And brought with them their mindset, where they were in their development of their mind. And it created some problems. And simply because that's the culture that grew on that planet. And that's the direction it grew. Now, the human evolutionary process included a little bit different set of factors. 7 chakras, a lot of emotions, feelings, and better and some teachers that were really hot. Pretty good. So, this created a very unique situation on Earth. And so it allowed for a little bit different type of learning. Hence, one of the reasons why other cultures, other planets, other systems have been interested in the Earth, because it offers, I'd say, a very unique, not a soul, not the only one, but very unique set of factors that we are learning. It's a very good balance here, very widespread, and some of these new cultures will be undeveloped in these areas.
Developed better
in other areas.
It's positive over the whole, I think. Whatever the future is, it's all positive.
Yes, in many ways it is.
It's up and down.
Because let's add what we've learned here tonight. The purpose of this is for us to grow to know God.
Yeah.
And those experiences will be for that purpose as well.
Yeah, I think maybe, you know, like the mindset of the people in power needs to change.
Yeah.
Because,
you want to head back to the room? Because we're right next door to each other. we can talk back there too. I think Tony has gone to bed, so I won't be going over to her place tonight.
Do you need to set this up?
Oh, you might as well. I'm going to turn this off.